This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. 25 pedestrians have been killed this year in San Antonio, surpassing totals from the previous 3 years during the same time period, according to the San Antonio Police Department data. San Antonio received a 38 out of a 100 score. In the studio, Timothy Hayes, pedestrian mobility officer for the city of San Antonio. And Timothy Hayes, welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Thank you very much for having me.
So tell me, what does the job entail, pedestrian mobility officer?
Sure. So the job of the pedestrian mobility officer is to look at how we build our infrastructure in the city of San Antonio and to ensure that on every project and with every mile of street or sidewalk that we build, that we're doing the best for anybody who might be getting around, either by walking, by biking, by using a scooter, alternative means of transportation.
So how the built environment mm-hmm. will help drive whether or not people can get out of their vehicles?
Yes, to a degree, absolutely. The way that we build within our rights of way definitely influences how people choose to get around. We also have to recognize that there are existing patterns and existing built environments. Something like 95% of trips are taken in the San Antonio in a passenger vehicle. That's a personal private vehicle. And so recognizing that that's the current reality and meeting the needs for those users also has to be part of our calculus.
Right. So how the city on a macro level, how it's entirely laid out, that's mm-hmm. one thing. And then just your neighborhood or the street that you're trying to get across at that particular moment, all of these things are impacted by the design.
Certainly.
And how much influence, we can't redo the entire city. This is the one we got.
Right.
So what options are there?
What options are there? Well, I think we can start with looking at where we have opportunities. We have to do regular maintenance. We have to do reconstruct projects or reconstruct our streets, and we do that through a couple of means.
We're doing that right now, right?
Well, we're doing it all over the place, absolutely. And TxDOT's doing it, and the county is doing it, and all these public agencies are reconstructing our rights of way. And so every time we do that, we have an opportunity to look at that right of way and to think about what behaviors we're encouraging, how people are going to interact with that right of way. And so we have our here at TCI, the Transportation Capital Improvements, the City of San Antonio. We have our IMP program that handles regular street maintenance. We have our bond program that handles larger jobs for reconstructing within our rights of way. And every one of those is an opportunity to look at our, what I'll call our rights of way or our streets, and to see how we can include more uses more safely. So, and that's how we do it. We have an opportunity every time, and I know it's not ideal to take a piecemeal approach, but the reality of our budget situation and the amount of right-of-way that we can reconstruct in any given year or over a 10-year period is going to guide how we can do that.
But the decisions that we make now mm-hmm. going forward means that in the near future, we will see opportunities to recreate San Antonio.
Absolutely. I mean, we're doing it every day. So part of the job of the pedestrian mobility officer is to also look at how we've done it in the past and to help both the citizens of San Antonio, our representatives, and the people at TCI decide if that's how we want to continue to do things. And so as part of the fiscal year 2020 budget, we've included a task that is a micromobility policy document. And what we're going to be looking at is everything we use at TCI to both plan, design, and construct our projects and see where we might make improvements for all of our right-of-way users.
So in these meetings, you're the guy in the room. Are you the advocate for the guy on the bike?
I like to think I'm the advocate for everybody who's there. But absolutely, I'm a cyclist myself. I took my bike in, hard to believe, but wearing wool pants, I rode my bike in to work this morning. And so I have a very, intimate experience with, what it's like to get around town on a bicycle. And, I understand that experience and I bring that perspective to every day and to every project. But recognizing that we work within sort of a broader system, and that, you know, certain corridors and certain facilities just aren't going to work, means that you know, I have to be judicious in where I advocate for certain types of.
So you have to pick your battles.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more, but I want to get to this tweet from Amanda. What are your plans to integrate sidewalk projects with access to transit?
Yeah, Amanda, thank you for shooting that message over my way.
So what does that mean, access to transit?
Well, access to transit means that there are, again, part of that 5% of people who aren't taking a personal or personal private vehicle is people who are walking out their front door, walking to a bus stop, or taking a mobility device to a bus stop, or, like me sometimes, are riding a bicycle to a bus stop. And so ensuring that within our sidewalk projects, we're conscious of what VIA is doing, and we do a tremendous amount of coordination with VIA, both on our projects and as we're developing projects, being conscientious of making sure that those connections are made. And one of the things I can point to, actually, is our sidewalk prioritization. We're aware of the number of gap miles that we have in the city of San Antonio, where we don't currently have sidewalks. And part of that exercise has been prioritizing which of these gaps to address first. And one of the criteria is whether or not that's within a certain distance of a transit stop. And that awards a lot of points in terms of prioritizing these projects.
Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the bike lanes throughout the entirety of the Broadway makeover?
That's a conversation that's I'm really delighted is being had in the city of San Antonio. I used to live along the Broadway corridor and would commute by bike downtown.
Was that a challenge at times?
Certainly, some corridors are more challenging than others, so I know that the challenge is there. And now, as a parent who has a kid on the back of my bike, sometimes I see the real value in looking at a place like Avenue B and putting a protected all ages facility on something like that. And so I can sort of see both perspectives on this. And I'm really excited that at this point we've got our mayor, we've got our city council persons, and they're having a real conversation about, you know, how we're going to design and construct within our rights of way. I'm looking to this, and I'm definitely going to be including the thoughts and the dialogue that they're having now as part of our micromobility policy planning.
So that upper Broadway, that's the part we're talking about that's in question about the bike lanes?
Lower Broadway, I think.
Lower Broadway. I can't remember what is up, what is low. I don't know.
That's all right. No, lower Broadway is the downtown piece up through I guess, Mulberry. And so there's the portion of it which has a pretty narrow right-of-way. And we're talking about whether or not, the bike lanes, or what we'd call a safe bike facility, would fit within the available right of way and would also meet the goals of the project as it was originally scoped, and what alternatives we might have to that.
Is that still being worked out?
As far as I know.
Still being talked about, you know, in the halls of City Hall.
That's right.
Our phone lines are open. We've got the pedestrian mobility officer with us in the studio. He's ready to take your calls. What do you want to know about where San Antonio is going with protected bike lanes, with getting people out of their vehicles so they can get where they want to go in a timely fashion, in a safe manner, in a way that we can be a sustainable city? And also thinking about your own personal health. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In the studio, Timothy Hayes, pedestrian mobility officer for the city of San Antonio. He says he is the advocate for bicyclists, walkers, runners in San Antonio in those meetings when they're trying to figure out where they're going to put the sidewalk and what kind of roads we're going to build. The number to call in to ask him your question or tell him your story, 210-614-8980. Let's go to Barbara on the line. And Barbara, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. I was wondering how this gentleman is going to plans to accommodate the needs of seniors at a variety of mobility levels into the future project San Antonio.
Right, Barbara, thank you for the call. For seniors, that's an important category. So what do you consider when we talk about that?
Sure. I think seniors as a group are generally going to be more reliant on mobility assistance. And so, you know, just making sure these folks can get out their door and across a sidewalk that's in pretty good condition to either, you know, something that's going to pick them up or to a bus stop. We're going to have to be very cognizant as we develop policy to address sidewalks in particular. But you know, as we speak more broadly about seniors and their access, we probably need to recognize that that we need more input on what they need. And so part of developing micromobility policy planning, part of you know, every scoping that we do for all of our projects is public involvement. And so finding advocacy groups and making sure that they're engaged as we shape policy and as we shape these projects is going to be critical. We can't meet a need that we're not aware of. And so I'm going to invite Barbara and any of our other senior citizen advocates and advocacy groups to engage with me as we start shaping this policy and to make sure that, you know, when we're planning these projects, that we're including their needs.
So a lot of people are hoping that we get to protected bike lanes, mm-hmm. In areas, corridors where, you know, Fredericksburg Road, San Pedro, Broadway, South Cross, places where a lot of people get around. Mm-hmm. Is that happening?
Along some of our major corridors within the 2017 bond, we are including bike lanes. I think
protected.
Buffered in some cases, but when we're talking about physical separation, not often. And you know, a lot of the reason for that is driveway density. There are access issues associated with including when you say physical protection, you mean like a vertical pylon or a curb separation or something like that.
Well, let me go to Sean because he has a question about that. And Sean, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I live in around the 1604 UTSA area, and lots of students travel back and forth. There's some really principal corridors there. And wondering if there's a technology that's being developed, almost like those rubber speed bumps, the smaller sizes, if we could put them maybe between the bike lane and the car travel lane. And then you could have them in pieces, like you said, so you wouldn't have to cover driveways. But that way you could achieve some level of security to encourage more people to use the bike lanes. But I do see underutilization around the 1604 campus.
Right. When I used to do road construction, we called those things jiggle bars, and we would put them down on the street.
Right.
Is that something an alternative?
It is, absolutely. It's a technology that exists. There are all sorts of what we call longitudinal separators, right? And they come in a variety of materials and heights. The challenge with some of that sometimes is the long-term maintenance of the street pavement. What do we do when we need to come in and resurface the street? And whose responsibility is it to maintain those things? And so those are some of the conversations that we're having internally at TCI. We're having conversations both with vendors and within our different departments to suss some of that situation out. And we have some opportunities to install those things as we have projects come on board in the various budget cycles.
From Laura on Facebook, are pedestrians and bicyclists allowed to wear headphones and earbuds? I've seen many people put themselves in dangerous situations because they're unaware of the traffic noise around them, especially middle and high school kids, as well as people on the run, bike, and walk as they do their thing.
Allowed by law? Certainly. I think people in vehicles, you know, blasting their music as well. I mean, the distracted driving in general is one of our biggest struggles. I think you had Mario Jorge on Monday, and you were talking about issues in construction zones, lane widths, and he talked about speed. He talked about distracted driving as some of the principal causes of crashes in work zones. And I think that's something that is a cultural issue. And I think people need to take their driving and their interactions with our rights away very, very seriously.
But it is the bicyclist, and when you run, we're told all the time, mm-hmm. have one earbud out if you're listening to music, so you mm-hmm. can have situational awareness, and you know, it's everyone's responsibility to be safe.
Certainly, and one of the principal goals of our Vision Zero team that's run through transportation planning, and they've done a tremendous job, is education. And so they're out at community events, and they're talking about safe practices, and you know, handing out materials, and really having conversations with people about safe interactions with the right of way, because you know, vehicles are traveling quite safely, and it could be a dangerous situation if you're not aware.
We'll go to Jeff on the phone. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm all for the bike lanes, but my biggest problem that I have is when bicyclists disobey traffic laws. So one moment they're a bike, one moment they're a car, and as a driver, it's sometimes hard to tell if they're going to stop, if they're going to turn. So I wonder if there's going to be any education involved in telling bicyclists how to use these bike lanes.
So, Timothy Hayes, you're the pedestrian mobility officer, but does that come with a badge? Are you the enforcement officer?
No, but I was recently redubbed a bike boy, and I was hoping I'd get a cape. So this is an issue that I'm aware of, you know, on my commute, when I'm riding around on my bicycle, I'm often the guy, you know, shouting at the other cyclists who, may be misbehaving out there. Driver behavior, you know, bicyclist behavior, these are all education issues. And as part of our, Vision Zero efforts, or as part of our, overall planning process, we should certainly include, an expanded effort to make sure that people are aware when they're on a bicycle that they need to follow traffic laws. And I implore my fellow cyclists, when you're out on the streets, to stop the stop sign, stop at the red lights, and please help us build a coalition of support by demonstrating good behavior. There's nothing that's going to turn the public against cycling more than observing those types of behaviors when we're out on the street.
Email from Sylvia. I work in downtown, jog after work in the area. Nearly every day I exercise, I find myself almost being hit by drivers, either who ignore the pedestrian light giving me the right of way, or who aren't aware of the rules or the law that give pedestrians safe access to cross. I know I'm not really clear about the law. Tell me this. If the pedestrian is anywhere in that crosswalk, mm-hmm. do the vehicles have to come to a halt?
If they have the signal, yes, absolutely. Unless there's a hand sign up there that tells them not to cross, then yes, the pedestrian has the right of way. And that's often what we refer to as a failure to yield the right-of-way incident. So yes, if you're in the crosswalk, you do have the right-of-way when you have that walk sign on. However, in a competition between you right. and the vehicle,
you can win the argument but lose the war.
That's the issue exactly. And so it requires, you know, pedestrians who are using our rights-of-way to be extremely cautious. We lost a City of San Antonio employee downtown just a few months ago to a similar incident where she had the right of way, but a bus turned across her, and it's an absolute tragedy for that family and for, you know, everybody who knew her. And I would love for our vehicle operators, anybody who's driving around our city, and that includes me sometimes, certainly, to just, you know, slow down and be aware of your surroundings.
Okay, now to the phone with Rama. Rama, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. So my question was, you know, I understand you're asking bike advocacy groups to come to the table and to talk with the mobility officer in the city. Are you also asking businesses and maybe the joint bases to have some sort of officer or advocacy group from there team or corporation to join in on those conversations.
All right, Rama, thank you for that. So not just a city-driven conversation, but also businesses and everyone in the community.
I mean, that's a tremendous comment. It's something that we'll have to incorporate into our policy planning as we're looking at not just how we build rights of way, but who also is our partner in that, and how sort of adjacent land uses and adjacent development can impact what our rights of way look like. We need to start broadening those conversations and start talking about other organizations, the county, TxDOT, the medical center. We recently had a tremendous cooperative effort come to fruition where we've got a separated bike path, a two-way bike path on Floyd Curl that's a part of their Green Street effort. And so that's exactly the types of conversations that we're talking about having, where we can build coalitions that can make something like that possible.
Scooters, e-scooters, they're all over the place. What's going to happen with that? They can use the bike lanes?
Absolutely.
They can't use the sidewalks?
They cannot use the sidewalks.
Your vision for scooters? You think that's going to be a transportation alternative?
I think it's already a transportation alternative. We're in process right now. And this is a process being led by CCDO, which is Center City Development Office, to attempt to get control of the scooter situation. We're reducing the number of total vendors that are operating within the city of San Antonio. We're reducing the total number of vehicles. And there is currently a request for proposals out, and I think we've already got the responses to that. And those proposals are going to be graded based on how the individual companies are proposing to interact and operate within the right-of-way. Currently, I'd like.
People can take the VIA to get to downtown, and then they can grab a scooter and they can go wherever they wanted to go downtown, or further, maybe to the Alamo Dome or what have you, to the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the vision?
I think we have a tremendous opportunity to address that last mile. That last mile need that we talk about, and that's where somebody takes either a car or a vehicle or some other mode to get into town or near to their destination, and instead of taking a 10-minute walk, they want to take a 3-minute scoot, and so scooters do present an opportunity for creating last mile connections.
Is there a model city that you're looking at to help San Antonio find its way here?
I mean, San Antonio is very unique. A model,
because other cities are doing this.
That's certainly true. As we look at policy proposals for the city of San Antonio, we're going to be looking broadly at what the sort of buffet of policy options is. What are our sister cities, our equivalent cities, large cities that have similar development patterns doing. And where have they found successes? And we also have an opportunity to avoid maybe some of the pitfalls that they've found.
And to people who want these things in San Antonio, do they need to be loud and show up at the polls? Are you the result of bicyclists and pedestrians, people saying we want action?
Absolutely. When you want something done in your city or changed in your city, you should absolutely be engaging with your representatives.
So make sure your bicycle has a squeaky wheel.
No, because then you'd need to get your brakes checked. But I can also help with that if you need.
Right. So Timothy Hayes is our pedestrian mobility officer. We will be hearing from him for the city of San Antonio, talking about our alt mobility future in San Antonio. Thank you so much for being here, Timothy.
Sure. Pleasure to be here.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.